Welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. With the election coming up on Tuesday, November 8th, and early voting starting next week, today we bring you a debate for Salt Lake City Council District 2. The West Side District includes neighborhoods like Glendale, Poplar Grove, and Jackson, each with their own unique challenges and concerns. Let me give a brief introduction to our candidates. Incumbent Councilman Van Turner was first elected to the City Council in 1999 and has since been elected two more times. Voters might recognize him when they spot him at his family burger joint in Glendale, the Hook and Ladder, or his floral shop. Van, it's good to have you here in the studio.
Thank you, Jeff.
Challenging Councilman Turner in this election is Kyle LaMalfa, who took first place in last month's three-way primary election with 40% of the vote. A statistician and consultant, LaMalfa is known on the West Side as the founder of the People's Market, a farmer's market running each Sunday at Jordan Park. And Kyle, it's great to have you here as well.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
We have a lot of issues to discuss today, like infrastructure, public safety, and much more. But first, we're going to give each of you just a few minutes to tell us why you're running for the city council and your vision for the city. And then, as the incumbent, we will start with you.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and thanks for having me here today. I'm Van Turner, running for city council for a fourth term. I've been there 12 years, just completing them. I was born and raised on the West Side. I've always had a great passion for the west side of Salt Lake City. As you said, I'm a small business owner. I've been in business for 40 years there. My parents before me had small businesses there. So we've been entrenched in the neighborhood since about 1946. So we're well known, established as small business people. I've been married now for 39 years, have 7 children and 12 grandchildren. So they keep me busy. They're my delight. But I'm running to make this a better city that works together with the mayor and the council. We're the capital city, and because of that, we have a challenge. We are the center of business, education, government, and also we've had budget problems like the rest of the country. And through all of those, we are still AAA bond rated. We're one of the last cities in America that still is. We have the only airport, the international airport in the area, that is also free of debt, the only one in the nation. And that says a lot. We're sitting on about $250 million in money there to rebuild our airport as soon as the economy turns around. Also, our public utilities, they are AAA bond rated. And because of our good financial position, we were able to borrow money at 2.37%. For a 20-year bond, which has been unheard of. We have great schools in our area. They've all been rebuilt. We have good parks, wonderful open space. We have safe neighborhoods. As I walk the neighborhoods, I hear universally that people like where they live, that they feel safe in their neighborhood. Also, with the City Creek project, we've had a good job market. Our unemployment is around 7%. Which is way less than the national average. We're attracting new businesses, but also we're not forgetting to improve our roads and our sidewalk curbs and gutters. I think our city services, even in a time of a tight budget, are still providing the services that the citizens expect. This is just a great place to live. And District 2, I think, is coming out with some of the greatest neighborhoods in the city, and I think people are happy, and I'm just excited to be serving again.
Van Turner, thank you. And Kyle LaMalfa, an opening statement from you this morning.
Thanks, Jeff. I moved to the West Side about 10 years ago and bought my house there about 5 years ago. In 2004, I attended the West Side Leadership Institute, which was a program to help regular old community folks learn how to organize and engage a community to do something positive. At the end of that, I started the West Side Yard Sale. It was a one-day event. We had lots of people come out for a giant community yard sale. And at the end of that, there was this thirst for more. So with the help of a group of people who were my neighbors and residents of the West Side, we got together and put together People's Market, which on its first day had one vendor. It grew to now about 50 vendors a week. It's really a hotbed of microenterprise. And the reason I bring this up is that People's Market really is an innovative approach to bringing together partners and community members across the West Side to do something different and new. As a result of that, as People's Market grew, other organizations asked me to be a part of their effort. I now sit on four different nonprofit boards that serve the West Side community. And I also sit on boards at the city level, at the county level, and recently I've been asked to chair the Urban Agriculture Board for the state of Utah. My experience in the community has given me insight into how the city can be a better partner to schools, to nonprofits, and other community groups. And better partnerships can benefit the West Side, and the approach will really benefit neighborhoods throughout the city. The main issues I've been running on, schools and education, and safer neighborhoods.
All right, Kyle, thank you. This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're having a debate for Salt Lake City Council District 2 between incumbent Councilman Van Turner and Kyle LaMalfa. Listeners, we would love to have you join us on the air. Our phone number this morning to join us with your questions and comments is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. And now I have a series of questions for you both, and I'll give each of you the opportunity to answer in about 2 or 3 minutes each. We've got a lot of topics to get to, so take some time to answer the question, but don't go too long. First question for you, Kyle. We'll start with you. Federal funding for cities across the nation has been on the chopping block. For example, community development block grants, which bring millions of dollars to Salt Lake City every year. How would a cut in federal funding affect the district, and do you think there's anything you could do as a city councilman to reduce the impact of that cut?
CDBG cuts are a pretty significant impact to the neighborhood in District 2. Being a low-income area, there's special federal funding set aside called community development block grants that are there to help bring the community up to where it may have been neglected in the past, help bring the community up to the same kind of quality of services and infrastructure that was perhaps neglected over the years. So we're still not there. We're still, I think, 50 years behind in infrastructure. We still have a bridge at Indiana Avenue that's hazardous to ride a bike over, and we still have, streets that don't drain. So this federal funding is significant. In terms of how we can try to overcome the CDBG program that is constantly shrinking, the city also has a CIP program that fulfills those capital expenses. But in terms of bringing a neighborhood together, really partnerships is the way forward. Partnerships is the affordable way for a city to maximize resources. Partnerships between schools and police departments, other institutions, there's a lot of benefit to be had by sharing resources among groups who have the similar missions.
And Van Turner, your thoughts on federal funding and perhaps the impact of cuts on Salt Lake City.
Thank you, Jeff. I think everybody knows that we've had federal deficits and federal cuts and how it's affected the city. And some of it is through the CDBG grant program. Now, we still have grants coming in from the federal government for police and fire and other various things that we accept. We have the option of turning them down or accepting them, but we're putting new police officers on, new fire recruits because of these grants. I think the biggest challenge is you need to be more creative. You need to look out and find these opportunities you can. An example is on our bridges. We're going to be redoing the 13th South Bridge. Now, a lot of this will be federal money. 90% of it will. The city will step up to put in a small portion. But through the West Salt Lake area, we've replaced bridges. And we have to do these about every 2 years is about the schedule. So we've done 21st South, we've done California Avenue, we've done 7th South, 2nd South. The Indiana Bridge is to be done, I believe, next year. That was actually the smallest, but it was the safest, best-conditioned bridge. That's why it got left, just to address that. But we are looking forward to the 13th South Bridge being replaced. The viaduct on North Temple was going to be after the 13th South viaduct. But because of the light rail and the opportunities there to replace that, we went forward with North Temple and postponed 13th. We didn't want the whole West Side to be tore up at one time without any opportunity to get around. But stimulus money came about a couple years ago, and what you need to do is have projects planned and engineered. And I've often worked on those. I like to keep them engineered in kind of a line, so if we get money and opportunities, we can use it. And because of that, when the stimulus money came to the city, we had $1.5 million. I had engineering done on the Glendale Park as well as the new restroom in that park, and we was able to capture $1 million of that stimulus money because the rest of the city had no projects that could be moved on quickly. And those projects have both been done, and they've improved our neighborhood. The other part of that stimulus money went to Fort North. I also represent Fort North, but it was a couple blocks away in another park. So all the stimulus money went to the West Side because we were ready to accept it and got those projects done.
Kyle, let's come back to you with kind of a follow-up on that issue you were talking about, infrastructure on the West Side. Both of you, as the challenger in this race, do you see a deficiency in infrastructure on the West Side, streets, intersections, or parks as well? Do you see a deficiency in that? Or do you see places where improvements could be made and should be made in the immediate future?
We do have some deficiencies, and it's a deficiency not just between the West Side and the rest of the city, but also within the West Side neighborhoods. There are a lot of neighborhoods, certainly around in Glendale that have a lot of improved infrastructure. But as you walk through Poplar Grove and Fair Park, there are people who complain about, hey, you know, my street's cracked, my sidewalk is broken up. My street doesn't drain. My curb and gutter is not up to par. And other parts are absolutely critical to improve as well. The entrances to our city, especially at 4th South, are completely neglected. It's really, I guess, a black eye, I think, on the whole entire city that the first thing you see when you come into Salt Lake on 4th South is weeds and neglect. An improved entrance there would be a benefit to the whole entire city. Other infrastructure that could really make a difference on the West Side, boat ramps, and more walkability by connecting the parkway. You know, the only gap in the whole entire Jordan River Parkway system is in District 2. West Side investments are really city investments, and improving what are already assets to the West Side can really be seen as a win for the city as a whole.
And Van, your opponent brings up specifically 400 South and the gap in the Jordan River Parkway. How do you respond?
I can respond to those two. First will be the gap in the parkway. We had several gaps there. One of them was on 2nd South along the Jordan River, and it was called the Fisher Mansion. That was a private piece of property there that we purchased just to get 17 feet of property alongside the river so that we could continue the parkway. After buying the mansion there, we decided that it probably has a purpose on the river. It could be an education center, or it could be maybe even a government, Salt Lake City government type office complex, or we really don't know yet, but we've learned to love that old building and the carriage house behind it, and we decided to keep it. It's going to be a great amenity for that whole project along the river. The problem we have right there at the tracks, the Union Pacific Main Line goes through there, and they do not like a lot of people around their tracks. We had an accident with three girls along the UP track down south, and the Union Pacific does not want people around their tracks. So you can't go underground because you've got the river there. There's too much water, high water. To go over, it would take a huge ramp or elevators. It also has to be ADA. And we're trying to work through that. Right now you have to go over to 10th West and go around the tracks and go to where it's safe. So those things we're working on. We'd love to have that completed. The gas company's working with us. The power company's working with us there. And the 4th South Viaduct, the other, that's a UDOT. It is landscaped. It's not maintained very well. There's houses right up and businesses right up to that intersection. And we are working. That's going to be one of my goals as well, to see if we can improve that and make it more friendly coming into the city.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to take a short break here. You're listening to Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guests are the candidates for Salt Lake City Council District 2, incumbent Van Turner and challenger Kyle LaMalfa. You can join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. We'll be right back with more Politics Up Close. And welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Today we're hosting a debate for Salt Lake City Council District 2. It's the west side of Salt Lake City, neighborhoods like Glendale, Poplar Grove, and Jackson. And we want to hear your questions and comments for these candidates, Van Turner and Kyle LaMalfa. Our phone number is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Van, let's come to you for our next question to start off. How would you rate the police department's current performance on the west side? Are there any changes you'd like to see in policing efforts? Any way they can be restructured, perhaps, that would improve public safety in the district? Or are they doing the best they can right now?
Well, thank you, Jeff. And to begin with that, we were, I would say, underserved for many years without an adequate police presence. But I can say now that with the new police precinct that we worked hard to bring into 7 South and the Jordan River, that I think all those questions and problems we had have changed and gone away. The precinct is a gathering place. We have our community council meetings and things there, as well as other activities. And they also have a shooting range and detectives and that located in the building. Because of that, we have an awful lot of presence of the police that are there. There's many police cars on the street that we didn't used to see before, and I think that has helped dramatically. We also have the Liberty Precinct has moved over to the Pioneer Precinct that was there. That's the west side, east side. And so their whole patrol division comes out of that building. So we have got a lot more officers on the street, a lot more eyes on the street. And this has been a big plus for us there. We also, by building that building, created the Fallen Officers Memorial that used to be up on basically the sidewalk up the old public safety building. So crime is way down. As I walk the neighborhoods, people are saying that it's a safe neighborhood. They like their neighborhood. We had no drive-bys this year. I remember there was one time we had 70 drive-bys. In the city, we're down to, I believe we only had one in many, many community council districts, and they weren't any in Poplar Grove or in Glendale. And I think the gang activity is way down. People are safe. They're out on the streets. They're riding their bikes. They're walking. They're using the trail. And they're just say they're a safe neighborhood. I would comment that Chief Burbank's done a wonderful job. The officers are committed to the west side. They like to be there. They like to patrol there. We like to have them on our side of town. We're very supportive of them.
And Kyle LaMalfa, coming to you, your thoughts on policing in District 2. Is there room for improvement?
Well, one thing I'd like to correct is that new police precinct is actually 8 years old. It's been around for quite a while. Crime is going down, and it's part of a national trend. From New York to L.A., crime's going down, and it's expected that it would go down on the west side, too. I agree with the councilman that crime is low on the west side, but there's more we can do. Really, the long way to anybody who's a victim of a crime, one crime is too many, and really, the long-term solution to crime prevention is in the schools, and it's as part of partnerships between the police department and our mobile watch, our neighborhood watch, part of partnerships with our emergency responders, assert teams. It's really a whole community solution, and that's sort of my approach to the city council and being a leader in the city is really trying to look for community-based solutions. I'm proud to be a part of the Mountain View Community Learning Center, where we're engaging parents in new and innovative ways and teachers. And part of that has got to be around citizenship and public safety.
Van, let's come back to you. Along with public safety, do you think there are enough efforts being undertaken in District 2 right now to keep Westside youth from joining gangs or to keep gangs that are established elsewhere from moving into the neighborhood?
Once again, thank you, Jeff. It's been a long, I'd say, battle to remove some of these individuals and change their behavior in our community. And quite truthfully, a lot of them don't live there anymore. The activities that they were doing were criminal, and some of them ended up in federal court and justice court and other things, and they're serving time for the behaviors that they have done in the community. That being said, I see the schools. I work and live right next door to the junior high and the elementary, and I've been involved in this learning center and been on the community's councils, school community councils, of both of those schools, and I firmly believe that the kids need to have a safe place to go to school while they're in the school, a safe place as they're traveling home, so they're not intimidated by anybody or bullied at all. And we have right now excellent principals. We have excellent teachers. We're able to retain those teachers. They like to be there. That hasn't always been the case either. And the educators we have, the principals get involved in this in the community. For instance, the library that we are building in Glendale, they've all the schools, including Raleigh and all of them, Parkview, have all been very, very supportive and showed up at city council meetings, city hall meetings, and spoke about this because they know with the Learning Center, new libraries, new opportunities, Unity Center, Sorensen Center, sports activities that we have throughout the area, it's going to make a better community and more options for the kids.
And Kyle, we'll come back to you for the last word on this subject. Any efforts you see that could be undertaken for gang prevention and just keeping gangs out of the neighborhood?
So there may be a bit of an exaggeration of the gang problem. Two kids walking down the street wearing sports jerseys, that's not a gang. But for those people that are that may be involved in gangs, there really is a three-pronged approach to getting rid of gangs, and that is prevention, intervention, and suppression of gang activity that for those who are hardened gang members.
Listeners, you can join us on the air at 801-355-8255. And Robert is on the line calling from Salt Lake City. Robert, what's your question or comment for Van Turner and Kyle LaMalfa?
Hi. Yes, thank you. This is Robert Comstock, and I was with one of the several dozen people walking for Kyle LaMalfa for the last several Saturdays. He has tremendous popular support. My question is for first Van, then Kyle. I was at 513 Montgomery Street, and I saw a sidewalk that was tilted up in two different directions about 6 inches off the ground, and the tree that had caused it looked like it had been cut down for at least 10 to 20 years. Now, I've lived here in Salt Lake City for 36 years, and I know that east of 13th East, that would never have been that way for more than 6 months. Why is it, Van, that on the west side, you can't get results for west side residents? You spout off a lot of facts, and that's good, and I appreciate that, but nothing happens in your 12 years, Van, for the west side. That sidewalk would never have been like that, and that's just one of dozens of instances that Kyle just mentioned, a curb and gutter. Why are the people of the west side ignored, Van?
And all right, Robert,
fought for them?
Robert, we appreciate your call. Obviously a challenging question for you, Van, so let's have you respond.
Well, welcome, Robert. It's good to hear from you again. This reminds me of when we ran against each other in 1999. We actually ran for a city council in a primary together, and we had debates of this same nature at that time, Robert. But I was out walking on Montgomery Street last night, about 600 south, and I called in several of these sidewalks. Now, again, Robert, we're in a CDBG grant area. Those sidewalks can be fixed, and they're fixed free. On the east side, it's a 50-50 project because they're not eligible for full funding. We have put in so many ADA approaches. I think every intersection down there is now completed, thousands of them. We've replaced many, many sidewalks. We've replaced some this week. I know of several of them that are going to be replaced this next week before the weather is bad. But that address of 513 Montgomery, we'll put on our list. the list goes, and if we can finish it this year, we can. Otherwise, it goes on next spring, and it'll be done. The reason that hasn't been done is nobody's complained. We work on a complaint basis, and we're glad to do that. We want to have our sidewalks and all of our infrastructure in the best condition we can.
And Kyle, to have you respond as well, what are your thoughts on what Robert said, and perhaps specifically what he said about the disparity between the east and the west side of Salt Lake City?
You know, as part of my effort to win this election, I set about walking every street and meeting every single voter on the whole west side. It took me 7 months, and I knocked on 4,000 doors as part of the effort. I've got a stack of notes an inch deep about sidewalks, about dead trees, even places where the streets don't drain, like on Fifth South. There is a lot of things, a lot of improvements that can happen in terms of infrastructure. And mostly it's little things. When I knock on a door, people, the first thing that comes to mind is how the city can help. Hey, that street light's burned out. That pothole needs filled. And by the way, that empty lot across the street needs the weeds cut down. People recognize the responsibility of the city to handle this infrastructure needs. And being on the streets, boots on the ground, is the best way to see exactly what needs repair.
Robert, we appreciate the call. Listeners, our number is 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255 to join us this hour as we talk with Kyle LaMalfa and Van Turner, candidates for Salt Lake City Council District 2 this year. Kyle, the Utah Department of Corrections has decided to build a parole violator center in Glendale, housing about 300 people who have violated the terms of their parole, which has a lot of people concerned, given that it's being built near schools. What would you do as a city councilman to alleviate the community's concerns about this center?
Jeff, just for a little background, We on the west side knew that there was this idea of a parole violator center floating around the legislature. And the parole violator center concept is one that's good for society, that instead of going back to prison for technical violations of the parole, people go to this temporary facility to get some counseling, some job training, and really try to transition them back into society in a smoother way. However, it's still full of people who are, on parole. And the Department of Corrections decided to put this parole violator center in Glendale, where we already have host to four other parole centers. They put this parole violator center next to a school and close to a business that that serves thousands and thousands of kids every year. There really was no community process, no buy-in. The Department of Corrections just showed up one day at the Glendale Community Council and made an announcement. So the way things are shaping up, I've done grammar requests, I've reached out to the Department of Corrections and really been stonewalled along the way. Our leadership that is currently there really didn't make a whole lot of noise about it. That being, being what it is, we need to move forward. And so I'm bringing forward some ideas about how to interact with the Department of Corrections to try to turn what is this incredible negative into a positive. So let me just talk about three of those things. We need, as a community, we need the Parole Violator Center to share some data with us. We need the Parole Violator Center to say, yes, we are achieving our mission. Yes, we're staying in our budget. Yes, these parole violators are repaying their debt to society. We need to have accountability. We want the Parole Violator Center to appoint a citizen board to help then guide the Parole Violator Center in their decision-making to be a better part of the community. You know, we know our own community, and we would like to see the Parole Violator Center be a friend to our community. The last thing I would like to say is that we need the Parole Violator Center to add a carrot to this. Right now, it's just a stick. And as the parole violators are repairing their debt to society, we want to see them out there painting buildings, pulling weeds, and cleaning up the river, and truly creating an asset to the West Side instead of just a negative.
Kyle, thank you. Councilman Van Turner, this parole violator center in Glendale has the community concerned. One, should you have made more noise about it back when they were still making the decision? And two, now that it's a done deal, what can you do to alleviate the community's concerns?
Well, I think the community feels that we end up with too many of these things, and I do too, of various problem businesses and problems like this parole violator facility, and they've broken, everybody that will go there have broken their parole for whatever reason. Instead of taking them back to the Point of the Mountain, this is a cheaper, better way of handling it, is what the legislature has said. Legislatures forced this. They funded it. It's our legislators and senators that said, this is what we want. We want it in the county. Find us a location. It's been going on for about 4 years. We thought, as a city, it would not be in Salt Lake City. They were looking at West Valley, South Salt Lake, other locations, and we thought it'd be wise to move these things throughout the county. It's better for the parole violators as well as the communities not to be overloaded with these facilities. Actually, we have one on 21st South, a smaller one. We have one off California Avenue. We have a men's and ladies facility off of North Temple. And as community council chair that I've been and vice chair, these have come into the neighborhood. So I know how the neighborhood feels about these kind of facilities. And we fought one. We actually fought one. It was a 560-bed one that was going to go over on 5th West and about 9th South, right where we were trying to redevelop the granary district with the RDA, the redevelopment agency. We just thought that's a bad location for an area we're trying to redevelop for housing. And so we fought that as a community, and it went away. It went away. So these things happen. We had one on North Temple at one time that was an old hotel that opened, and it closed. So over this process, I've seen this many times, and what happens on these. This is a state-run one. Some are federal, some are private. But they should not be close to community, for instance, school businesses and that. And the state comes, and they just do whatever they want. They buy the property. And it's hard for the state, and I've asked them about the carrot and the stick approach, and the state will say, well, whatever we do for you, we have to do for every other community and every other piece of property. They've got the alcohol control building over there that is huge. It's in complete violation of our zoning down there. All of a sudden, it was just built. It's way out of line, and you can see it from all over the valley. The state comes in and just does it. The community finds out later. And that's the rub between the whole process.
Kyle, looks like you have more to say on that subject.
You know, we had 4 parole centers. Now we're going to have 5. I guess I just think that more noise needs to be made about this. And I'm out there, and I want to make that noise.
And Jeff?
We'll give you the last word.
Yeah. Okay. When this was presented, and I will just tell you from the administration and from the council side, we were furious about it. And Mayor Becker, I had conversations with him a number of times, and on this particular issue, I don't think I've ever seen him as mad on anything that's happened in the city in 4 years as this. And he was frustrated, and he has been a previous legislator, and he was unable to do what we'd like to do.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to take another short break here. This is Politics Up Close here on KCBW, having a debate this morning for Salt Lake City Council District 2 on the west side, and you can still join us on the air. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We welcome your questions and comments this morning for Councilman Van Turner and Challenger Kyle LaMalfa. We will be right back with more Politics Up Close here on KCBW. You're listening to Politics Up Close here this morning on NPR Utah, KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson, joined in the studio as we have a debate for Salt Lake City Council District 2 between incumbent Van Turner and challenger Kyle LaMalfa. We have more questions for the candidates, and we welcome your questions at 801-355-TALK this morning, 801-355-8255. Councilman Turner, this winter, homeless shelters in Salt Lake City are expected to once again be overburdened with too many people to take in each night. Is there anything the city isn't doing right now that it could to reduce homelessness?
Well, Jeff, let me just start out by saying when I came on the council, our biggest homeless issue we were going to have was the Olympics. I had all of it downtown, and I was very surprised that we would have other individuals coming in for work during that time of the year and the weather that may not have a place to stay. That being said, I worked hard to work with the Road Home, Matt over there. I've always been fully supportive of his efforts and helped fund everything I could for the homeless shelter. But they were going to be unable to take care of the people that would be here during the Olympics, so we didn't want to have anyone freeze during that time. So we have men, we have ladies, we have families that are housed there. This was a huge problem, and so I was able to get the CERTA building, and the CERTA building was converted into the overflow shelter downtown. And we had up to 700 people in there at night. We were very proud at the Olympics to have nobody freeze during the winter time. Everyone was taken care of, and that was an amazing thing. Also on the SROs, that's a single-room occupancy. We have had those buildings at 250 South State, and they were terrible, terrible conditions for individuals to live in. I was appalled when I saw those, and I knew that people needed better conditions to live in. So I've been supportive always of the Road Home and the overflow shelter in Midvale, but the answer is to have those people come in and have them get the services they need, have them get a job, transition them out into the community, and by doing that, one of our biggest support or the biggest supports that we had in that effort was the Sunrise Apartments. The Sunrise is a wonderful place that people can go, have their own room, have their own beds, TVs, everything brand new, a wonderful place to be, and that was a great thing to open. We've been working as a city to have the 10-year No More Homeless Project, and this is from Mayor Palmer, Paulus. And because of that and the RDA's efforts, we were able to purchase the Palmer House. I was over the Palmer House last week, and that is a facility, secure facility, in a older hotel that was converted into housing. And the men, the ladies, and the families are separate. But when you walk in there, these people have dignity. They have security. They love that place. And that's the answer to our problem, is to get people into some place that they feel is theirs in a beautiful atmosphere. You go in the lobby there, you can bring friends and families and sit. There's a grand piano. It's as nice as any hotel in the city, and people can bring their families and friends and enjoy that facility just like anybody else would.
Van Turner, thank you. And Kyle LaMalfa, your thoughts on the city's efforts so far in reducing homelessness and what more might be done?
You know, of course, the most prominent homelessness is downtown. But we also have a homeless problem on the west side, too. We have lots of campers along the Jordan River. And even Wasatch Hollow up on the east side has campers. I don't know that we have a program to adequately deal still with the homelessness problem. Really, the solution comes through more partnerships. And besides just a place to stay, homeless people are dealing with mental health issues and drug addiction issues that might not entirely be a fault of their own. Turns out that the economics of improving homeless situation actually is a benefit to the city. By being a better partner and a better friend to homeless, we get fewer calls to the police and fire, which means greater availability of police and fire to respond to other issues, which in the long run will save city money and result in improved services for the residents. This is, you know, one reason why I've been endorsed by the Salt Lake Police Association.
And Kyle, I think we might have time for only one or maybe two more questions this morning before we get to your closing statements. I'll come back to you for this next one. Does the city council have a role to play when it comes to improving public education in Salt Lake City, Kyle?
Absolutely. There's a few things that the city can do that don't cost any money. We do need a city that's working to be a better friend to the school district. And one fact of the matter is that the West Side has half the kids of the whole entire city, but we only get to vote for two out of the seven seats on the school board. And as a result, I'm not certain that the school board is being responsive to the unique needs of kids on the West Side. The city council redraws the lines next year, and this is one clear distinction I have with the incumbent, which is I'd like to see us redraw the lines to more adequately balance the kids. And I know I've heard our incumbent talk about aligning the school board boundaries precisely with the city council boundaries, which would leave us in the same situation we are today. Another thing we can do as a city is help the library to be a better partner with the schools. Simply aligning the programs of the library to happen in sequence with the curriculum is a way that we can reinforce learning and not spend any extra money. Our kids on the West Side are exposed to incredible amounts of diversity. Our kids are ready to compete in the global economy of the 21st century. Mountain View kids speak 30 different languages. But we do need help improving learning in science, technology, engineering, and math, and moving those kids forward onto higher education.
And Councilman Turner, your thoughts on the city council's role in education and your response to Kyle's comments.
Okay, I'll begin with talking about Mountain View. Mountain View used to be Glendale Elementary, and I used to go there. I'm right next to that school, and my heart and passion is with that group of students as well. All my children went to that same school, all seven. I'm very familiar with the principal. The principal that is there right now grew up in the neighborhood, Jimmy Martin. So I think we have good people and good students that are there, good programs. But we have worked with the district as a city council in many, many ways, and we have a good relationship. It's been brought forward here that as the redistricting goes forward, we have two options. The city council is under state statute, and because of that, we have to go on a population basis. Also, the school board, they can actually draw their own borders. They are their own entity. They're elected. They have their own taxing ability. They're their own entity. They can do what they want. They could draw their own boundaries and have separate elections in certain areas. We would like to see more representation on that board. How we get there, we'll find out as the process goes further along. But as a city, I've worked hard to get working with every school to find out what their needs are as far as better crosswalks, better signage, better lighting, especially in the morning when they go to school, and some of these have late classes. Make sure our crosswalks are manned and painted every year. We want to work with the school board, sure we do, and we want to work the library. Nobody has more passion for the libraries in this city than myself, working on the main library as we did, as also on the Marmalade Library. So the West Side will now have not only the Rose Park Library, they have the Chapman, and we'll never touch the Chapman. It's a historical, beautiful building, but we'll have a new Glendale Library and a Marmalade. So we'll actually have four nice branches. The Glendale will be the biggest branch library in the city. These are going to help the children, these facilities, and I'm excited to see four of them on the West Side.
Kyle, real quick.
As a board member on the Community Learning Center for the Mountain View Glendale Project, I question the councilman's commitment to education. There was a CDBG grant that was applied for and won, but through the city council, that money was held up for 2 years. And when 30 families showed up at the city council and begged the council to give that money that had already been awarded, that's finally when the council gave the money to help the Community Learning Center project move forward.
Jeff, could I respond?
Of course.
When we talked about that, the school came and asked us for initially $250,000. It's $238,000. Normally, we don't give the school board money because they're a taxing entity. But in this case, we felt it was important enough, and I lobbied my council members to step up, even though we took money out of CDBG that goes to sidewalk, curb, gutter, improving our neighborhoods. We thought it would be better to start the learning center in conjunction with the library. And because of that and my lobbying efforts, we were able to do that. We thought that would be all. But the school board came back with a much greater CDBG grant application the next year. And because the funding was down, we were unable to do it. It wasn't that we didn't want to do it. We're going to see the project through. It will be built. But we're glad we were able to participate. So.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're having a debate this morning between Salt Lake City Councilman Van Turner and his challenger this election year, Kyle LaMalfa. And gentlemen, we have only about 2 minutes each for you to give a closing statement, so our time is brief. And Councilman Turner, we will start with you.
Well, Jeff, thanks for the opportunity to be here today. And it's been a great experience for me and a growing experience to be able to represent the west side of Salt Lake City. The west side to me is still from State Street all the way out west. And when you go out west in the industrial area, I have $100 million worth of infrastructure alone that needs to be done in the industrial area, not only in the neighborhoods, but all the way out to the landfill and past there. But some of the things that I've been working on, and I know Kyle said the new police station, it's new to me because we never had one there, but it took a long time to put it together. I'm sure I'm proud of the things that we've done there, and I'm proud of the crime being down, faster response times. Our response times used to be 8 minutes, 12 minutes, those type of things. They're way down. They're just police are all around. They're able to respond. Also, the closing of Ninth South Tracks. The neighborhood worked very, very hard for many, many years to get the Union Pacific off of those tracks. And now we're going to be opening up a new trail that'll go from Redwood Road to the freeway. It'll be open November 5th, ribbon breaking. It's going to bring the Poplar Grove and Glendale neighborhoods together. Now, instead of a big mound of ballast where the train tracks were, it's flat. We've had a lot of improvements in our local parks. We've had a lot of improvements in the Sorenson Multipurpose Center as well as the Unity Center. I think that's been a huge plus for our neighborhood. The reduction in crime, Kyle mentioned, is down all over, but some areas are up in this country, some are down. That's how you get an average. But we're down at least 15% since 2008. But the North Temple project is the biggest city project we've ever attempted. And that's going to change the North Temple area, the Euclid area, the Rose Park area into a delightful gateway type approach to our city, and I am so excited to see that happen. Also, one of my biggest successes is the tire recycler having it moved out of our neighborhood.
Councilman Turner, thank you for being here this morning and for your closing statement. Kyle, we have about two and a half minutes for you as well.
Thanks again, Jeff, for having me on. I'm bringing a new vision that incorporates partnerships and community-based solutions and positive growth. I understand how to work the city and the county and the state, even the federal government systems. I have experience that's grown from a yard sale organizer to a market founder to being a board member on several nonprofits at the city and the county. My experience now allows me to co-chair the State of Utah Urban Agriculture Commission. I'm invested in the West Side, and I have a plan for our future. Most importantly, I bring a fresh approach and new ideas and passion. I love my community. I love the West Side. I want to see us be successful. I want to see Salt Lake City be successful. And I hope that's what will earn me the votes to win this city council election on the West Side. Thanks.
Kyle LaMalfa, thank you very much for being here this morning. And Politics Up Close is a production of KCBW News, broadcasting on 88.3 and 105.3 FM. Thank you to Jesse Ellis and to Eric Ray for their help with this program. You can listen to Politics Up Close every Friday morning at 9 and Sunday morning at 6 here on KCBW. You can download a podcast of this debate. It will be put up later today on our website at kcpw.org. Thank you for joining us for Politics Up Close this Friday morning here on NPR Utah, KCBW.